Well, we've talked about the two stages of the three eschatological discourses of Jesus, that is to say, the discourses about the end times and the end of the world, both in Mark and Matthew, and especially in Luke, the gospel cycle that we're in right now. And we saw that the first part, which this gospel is about, refers to the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. That's the first stage. Then we saw that there's going to be an intervening period where Jesus is going to become the new temple. He's going to become the universal temple in his own risen body, and that will last for many years. And then finally, there will be the end time itself, the end of time. Now, what's interesting is that in the time, the intervening time of the church, when Jesus' own risen body becomes the universal temple, what Jesus says is there's going to be a bunch of false messiahs. So even though, you know, Jesus has become this new universal temple, even though it will be a time of grace, even though the Holy Spirit will be in the world, there's going to be these false messiahs nonetheless. People are going to be coming along claiming to be him, but Jesus says, don't listen to them. Now, of course, there's two reasons or two ways in which we know why, you know, we shouldn't be listening to him. The first thing, of course, you know, Jesus is saying is, look, when I come, it's going to be like the book of Revelations there, right? He's just not saying it that way. But he says, when I come, you're going to know. There's going to be something of tremendous cataclysm that's going to, of course, reveal that the end of the world has certainly arrived. And so if somebody's coming before that time, even though it looks like the world is in dire straits, don't believe them. Don't go running off after them. The second thing, of course, we're told earlier in the gospel is that we'll know the false messiahs and the false prophets, and we'll know them by their fruits. We'll know them by what they say, whether it conforms to what Jesus says or whether it does not conform to what Jesus says. And of course, that, you know, you might say, well, it's very difficult to be sure of everything that Jesus is saying. How do we know for sure, you know, the definitive word of Jesus? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we get the sense that the Father is the unconditional love of the Father or the prodigal son. And sometimes we get the sense, right, that the judgment of the world is going to be a tough judgment indeed. You know, how do we know who's the right person? The person giving us the good news or the person giving us the bad news? And of course, you know, as Jesus is wont to say, it's both, right? The good news is God is unconditional love, and if we throw ourselves upon his mercy, we're going to receive it. But, you know, there's also the news that comes that everything is not just going to be goodness and light. What Jesus is trying to say is there's two things that we have to do. Number one, we have to watch our own moral lives, right? We have to be kind of, very vigilant about our own moral lives. We're responsible in some sense, even though, of course, we can throw ourselves upon the mercy of God and do that 70 times, 70 times, and Jesus will still come back, and forgive us as he asks us to forgive our brothers and sisters. The second thing, though, that we have to be conscious of and do is also know that it's not going to be neat out there. It's going to be really, really messy out there. And so there's going to be, you know, a lot of dire things that are happening. There's going to be things that happen, and we look at it and we go, this has got to be the end of the world. This is just too rotten. But you never know, because of course what Jesus is saying is, yes, things are going to be messy, things are going to be dark, it's not going to be a cakewalk, right? There's going to be evil all over the place. You're going to have to watch yourselves and help other people watch themselves. But God's providence is in charge. And you can't try and outguess God's providence any more than, you know, kind of the media trying to predict the last election. You know, I mean, you just can't say, you know, this is it. I can tell the signs of the times. Yes, we can tell the signs of the times, but we can't know what the future will be, and certainly not know, as Jesus tells us, when the end of the world is going to be. So we're right back to where we've always been. There is going to be an end. There is going to be a calamitous moment. But in the meantime, no matter how messy things become, how dark, how evil, etc., things become, God's providence is in charge. God's providence is leading the world where He would lead the world. God's providence is surprisingly in charge. You can't predict it. You can't say something is inevitable. You can't say the church is in so much trouble this time, it'll never get out of it. You can't say that, you know, whatever, the United States or world culture or whatever is in so much trouble, we'll never get out of it. We can't ever say that. All we can do is trust that God is in charge of affairs much bigger than ourselves, and keep our noses to the grindstone to try and do as much good for the order of salvation as we can in our little domain, or sometimes, if we're fortunate enough, in bigger domains. But the key thing is that we're trying to just keep our nose to the grindstone, not trying to figure out what God and only God alone can know, but we're keeping our nose to the grindstone to do as much good for the order of salvation as we can right now, in our own way, by our own prayers, by our own actions, by our own words, trying to do as much good as we can. The rest, honestly, is up to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit that they have given us. Amen.